Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Anyway, time to look at some stories from some other parts of the globe. We're joined once again by Jonathan de Burke-Butler. Jonathan, good afternoon to you.
Sean, how are you getting on?
And Happy New Year.
And the same to you, absolutely.
Right, we'll go to Spain first. And this is a court ruling.
Yeah, this is a Spanish court who has cleared a divorced father who was brought to court by the girl's mother. So it was a 9-year-old girl. The parents are divorced, and it would appear that the father in question was checking her WhatsApp messages. Okay, was specifically, I think, checking a conversation between the daughter and the mother. And the mother said that this was an invasion of the child's privacy. Now, it's interesting because I would imagine that if it was taken from the point of view, had he looked at the mother's phone at the same conversation, the court probably would have sided with her. But in this case, they decided to go with him. Basically, her argument, as I said, was that he had breached Spanish privacy laws, but the judge said that there was a legal clash with the country's civil code under which parents are obliged to look after their children's best interests, basically. So, finding in favour of the father. Now, it did help that they had actually sort of negotiated the terms under which they would look at this thread or whatever you call it on WhatsApp, and that the daughter had given permission for them to sit down and look at it together. But it's interesting development in terms of, you know, privacy and, you know, access to your children's social media.
Well, I suppose a lot of parents listening would say, no, I do, especially if they're only 9.
Indeed.
You do want to see what's on their Snapchat account or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a trickier one, though, if it's on conversations with their mother, and mammy and daddy are estranged, and so perhaps one might question daddy's motives.
Exactly.
For looking.
Yeah, absolutely.
At those particular messages. But that presumably means that the mother also has the right to look at the WhatsApp messages if she has conversations with the father.
Yeah, I would assume so. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, there you go. Manners on them. Right. We'll go to Canada next. And this is a court ruling in favour of they call them First Nations in Canada.
But what's interesting about this is that this is actually relates to an American Indigenous, although I suppose the point of this ruling is that there's kind of no borders. But anyway, it's about a man called Richard Desautel, who in 2010 had crossed the border from the United States into British Columbia, I think, and he shot an elk and killed it. Now, under British Columbia's Wildlife Act, he was charged. Okay, charges were brought against him, but he said that it was part of his right to hunt in that part of Canada, because he was part of a group of people called the Lakes Tribe, a member of that group, who, you know, were had traditionally hunted in that area and were traditionally therefore allowed to hunt in that area.
Yeah.
Now, British Columbia didn't agree with him. They brought charges against him. Those charges were dropped in March, but they appealed to the British Columbia Supreme Court, arguing that this man was actually wasn't an Aboriginal person of Canada, because the Lakes Tribe wasn't recognised, or at least was recognised as a tribe that had become extinct, for want of a better word, and so wasn't recognised in Canada. But the judge said, no, not the case at all, because traditionally the tribe had drifted in and out of what white people or, you know, the people who conquered America, for want of a better way of putting it, would traditionally see as having a border there, but they saw as borderless, if you get me.
Yeah.
So they sided with him and said that he was perfectly, what he did was perfectly legal.
Now, in bringing this prosecution in the first place, what were the authorities worried about? Now, are they worried that lots of people might be straying across the border, claiming their Aboriginal rights to hunt there?
Well, I don't know.
Or using that perhaps as a pretext to,
I think really
bring the cheap diesel over.
I think really what they saw was that he had broken a law. He had broken the Wildlife Act by hunting in the area, and so wasn't allowed to do it at all, because he wasn't part of a group that was recognised within Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, but the judge has now decided that that group, even though he's American, will be recognised within Canada from now on. And it kind of fits in with the whole narrative. You remember Justin Trudeau made an apology last year for things that were done in the early 19th and early 20th century. And it fits in with that kind of narrative there. So, that's where it's at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, right. Venezuela, Brazil. Now, Brazil's kicked out, is it Venezuela's top diplomat?
Yes, so Brazil has decided to kick out Venezuela's ambassador, and this is in response to Brazil's ambassador to Caracas being kicked out a week earlier. And this was done because Maduro said that the manner in which Dilma Rousseff, former president of Brazil, was treated was illegal, effectively, and said that it was part of a right-wing coup to get rid of her and her supporters. You might remember that happened last year. It was quite a big story. So, I don't know. It's a strange one. We were speaking about Canada a few minutes ago. It looks like Canada has also cut diplomatic ties with Venezuela last week as well. And there's an awful lot of pressure being brought to bear on Maduro from the international community. He does, of course, have his allies in Evo Morales and Cuba and various different countries like that, Russia, of course. But it appears that he's not making many friends within the international community, and he could probably do with a few as the situation gets worse in Venezuela.
Yeah, especially on South America, you'd think it would probably be in his interest somewhat.
Yeah, indeed, but there's been such a drift from, let's say from the left to the centre or centre-right, whatever way you want to put it. If you think about Argentina, if you think about Brazil, various other places, that it's not surprising that he's not finding that much support in his neighbourhood. A lot of pressure being put on those countries, of course, from the United States of America as well, who would like to see rid of him. And I have to say, you remember we did a show at the end of last year and I predicted that he'd be gone at this stage. He's still hanging on.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed that he's still there. I'm sure most people are, to be honest with you.
But I imagine he's still there because the country is really in a diabolical state.
Yeah, it's in a diabolical state, but he still has an awful lot of support. I mean, there was this constituent assembly that he brought in a few months ago, which effectively got rid of the National Assembly. Now, the opposition boycotted that, but 45% of the population still turned out, you know, it wasn't an open vote, but to support this constituent assembly that he's bringing forward to probably delay presidential elections that are due next year. So he just appears to be getting madder by the day, to be honest with you.
It would seem as, is your take that this is individual support for him or kind of his lineage, so to speak, because he was the anointed successor
of Chavez. I suspect so, but I also suspect that there's a lot of people who are doing quite well out of it, out of being in positions of power within the government there. And of course, as always, you know, there was an attempt, or at least somebody flew a helicopter into Caracas, which made it look like a coup, but there was no support for it. Mm. So there must be, he must still have the army behind him, you know?
Yeah.
But it's in a diabolical state at the moment, Venezuela.
Right, we're remaining in sort of in that part of the world. Mm. Peru we're going to now, and a jailed former president has been pardoned.
Yeah, this is an extraordinary story because, I don't know, you might remember before Christmas, the week before Christmas, we actually spoke about the current president, Pedro Kuczynski, who was facing impeachment. And I said that there was no way that he was going to get out of it. And of course he has. But he's done it in an extraordinary fashion. He was facing a vote. Basically, the opposition there in the assembly has a very large majority. Okay, so it looked to all intents and purposes that there was just no way he had the numbers and that he wouldn't be able to hang on. But it seems that he got in touch with the former president, a man by the name of Alberto Fujimori, who we've spoken about before. He was president for 10 years during the whole Shining Path you know, war with Shining Path and that kind of thing. And he was sentenced to 25 years in prison a number of years ago. But he still has an awful lot of power, to the extent that his daughter and his son are members of the opposition. Okay, but it appears that this President Kuczynski actually approached Alberto Fujimori in prison and offered him a deal in which Alberto Fujimori said to some people in his party or his daughter's party that you needed to support the president, therefore getting him out of impeachment proceedings, and that something good might happen to me. 3 days later, he was given a pardon, or sorry, 2 days later, he was sent to hospital, and a day later, he was given a pardon on compassionate grounds. He's 79 years old. As I said, he has a son and a daughter who are very heavily involved in politics. It looks like they might actually end up running against each other in the next presidential election. And so it just shows you the amount of influence that he still has. And it would appear that he's going to have even more influence now when he comes out of hospital and prison.
Yeah, that's kind of impressive in a really,
really
scary way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's extraordinary because the reason Kuczynski, President Kuczynski, was facing these impeachment proceedings was because of his involvement in this massive Odebrecht scandal, which has taken it, you know, this Brazilian company that were giving backhanders and buying contracts all over in 12 countries in South America. It's gone into Europe and Africa now as well, actually. But it looks like the investigation against President Kuczynski will now be slowed down as a result of him surviving this. But it's an extraordinary thing, extraordinary story.
Yeah. Now, next place we're going to is Equatorial Guinea, and it just kind of shows how so many things happen in so many parts of the world, and I hadn't even known this had happened. There was an attempted coup there.
There was, and this is significant because the president has been there since 1979. He's the longest running leader in the world, as far as I know, Teodoro Obiang. There was apparently on December 27th through to December 28th some sort of a coup. The details of it are sketchy. We do know that apparently 40 mercenaries who were coming in from Cameroon were arrested on the border there, so that's part of the story as well. Some analysts say that, you know, the reports might be a little bit, there might be a touch of the Turkish coup about it, in that the a coup that didn't really happen, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or it might have been, you know, made up a little bit in order for Obiang to get rid of some opposition members or some enemies within the state. He said in a statement on Saturday that I am not in power because I want to be. When you want to, you can tell me, President Obiang, you have already worked a lot and I will go away. But they appear not to want him to go away. 92% is what he won the last election by, and the opposition only won one seat, apparently, in the whole of the parliament. So he seems pretty keen to hang on to power, I think.
Yeah, and was it, did he's in power because he killed his uncle?
Exactly,
like that.
That's the very man, who wasn't a particularly nice chap at all himself. And there's all sorts of rumours about Obiang, you know, being into cannibalism. Forbes reckon he's estimated value is about $600 million. His son is very wealthy as well, and of course his son is the vice president. So he's earmarked for power. So that poor country.
I think it was the son that was living in LA and wanted to be a hip hop artist.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Yeah, so he's 49. And I think the US have tried to take assets off him. France have tried to take assets off Obiang himself, you know, from within France and that kind of thing. So, but again, one of these guys who's hung on for a very, very long time.
Is it clear who was behind this coup, or even if there was a coup?
Well, that's what we don't know for sure. As I said, it could be one of these Erdogan type things where more was made of it than actually happened. The information is sketchy coming out from it, and the only concrete evidence that we have is, you know, media from within Cameroon saying that 40 mercenaries were stopped from going from Cameroon into
Equatorial
Guinea, and then him, the president, coming out and saying there was a move against me. We don't know,
because this has happened before. Margaret Thatcher's son was involved with a coup attempt in early 2000s.
Yeah, that's right. I think 2004, was it?
Yeah.
Was the last time that happened. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that's where Mark Thatcher, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's where that
Simon
was
Mann was the name of the guy. Some guy they imprisoned called Simon Mann. So which did seem to have some... Now, in fairness, if there was ever a place that deserved a coup, it's Equatorial Guinea, because it makes Venezuela look like a holiday resort.
Oh yeah,
the poverty is there is astounding.
Yeah, and at the moment, because of things that are going on, you remember Yahya Jammeh in the Gambia, and then also up a little bit in Togo, there's protests going on there at the moment. A couple of years ago, the president of Burkina Faso was kicked out as well. So there's a kind of there's a bit of momentum behind getting rid of some of these leaders at the moment, so it could be part of that as well.
Yeah, but of course the problem is oil. They've lots of oil
in Equatorial Guinea,
you know, the very people like the United States and France and blah blah will continue to buy it off them.
Yeah.
You'll still have a problem as long as they do that.
Absolutely.
Anyway, sorry, I'll stop. Got to get my soapbox there. Right, Liberia we're going to next, and can a football star turn that country around?
He's certainly going to get it a lot more focus, I think. So this is George Weah, who former Paris Saint-Germain player, footballer of the year and all sorts of things, went back to Liberia, very wealthy man, got very heavily involved in politics there, ran for president before, didn't quite make it, and this time he won by, I think, a significant majority. I think it was over 60% of the vote that he got. Now, it's not without controversy, because his running mate was actually Charles Taylor's former wife. And Charles Taylor's 50 years in prison in the UK for crimes against humanity. So he'll be closely monitored, and that, I think, that aspect of it is worth watching. I mean, he's getting lots of congratulations from the international community, rightfully so, but I think that aspect of it is worth watching.
Yeah, in the few seconds we have left, Jonathan, just tell us what to look out for in the coming week.
Yes, so I think, I'm not 100% sure, but are the Costa Book Awards announced tonight? Or is it a nighttime announcement? Well, anyway, it's today.
Could be.
But anyway, on Wednesday in Budapest, the Polish Prime Minister and the Hungarian Prime Minister are going to meet. The EU is not happy with that, with them at the moment, along with the Czech Republic, because they're not taking their quota of...
They aren't taking any.
Of asylum seekers. And then on Sunday, the French President Emmanuel Macron is going to visit China.
That's all something to all fascinating stuff. Jonathan, thanks a million for coming into us. We'll take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.